Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Here, as always, with Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters from across the country. It's your number one source for California high school sports fans with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva, and me. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, Lance, Bodie, we're coming down to the wire here. Lance, how's it going? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very happy that the schedules and the brackets are out. So now just trying to figure out how to squeeze so many exciting basketball games into a short amount of time. I'm pumped.
Yeah, and we'll speak with you about girls basketball in a little bit. Bodie, still a couple days and weeks for some sports for before we get to the postseason, but regular seasons are winding down for you. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. It seems each week we're getting a new sport to get their brackets out there. So just over a month left with the whole season and going to have a lot of championships coming up. So that's exciting.
Definitely. All right. I want to just talk about the state of the sports we cover and then get to some top performers. So Lance, we'll start with you. The girls basketball seeds came out in the Southern section on Sunday. We know who the open division teams are. We know who all the other teams are. What are some of your takeaways from those brackets ahead of those games getting going tomorrow?
I think first takeaway is that in Division One and the open division, there is going to be fireworks very quickly. There's a lot of parity in both of those divisions. In terms of the open division, we've been saying it all year, Centennial and Modern Day, what a surprise. They're the top two seeds. Etiwanda was right there, but what happened with Etiwanda, which was, I think, 17-0 or something like that, and a consensus top three team in the state up until about 10 days ago, is their two best players, or two of their best three players, are out for the season. So that's senior Jessica Peterson of Fresno State commit is gone. She's been one of the best front court players in the whole section for two seasons in a row. Deja Mitchell, she's a high major prospect, and she broke her leg. She will be 100% by next season, but those are two devastating injuries for Etiwanda. It's kind of the same deal where Centen and Modern Day are ahead of the pack, and nothing's really changed there, but there's a lot of open division games that should be good. 4 through 8 are all teams, or 3 through 8, are all teams that can really compete with each other. And so that is just going to be exciting. Connor, you're going to be at a really good one on Saturday, Harvard-Westlake versus Linwood. That's going to be a battle between, off the top of my head, I want to say the two top players in LA County other than Juju Watkins. So that's two outstanding nationally ranked seniors, Harvard-Westlake center Kiki Arioff and Linwood Rhea Marshall, who kind of plays every single position. So you're going to be in for a good battle between them. And then in Division One, there are so many teams that could really go all the way. I can't even name all of them because so many teams have a chance. But Long Beach Poly, I think, got the first seed because they're the only team with the first round bye. And Camarillo, Bishop Montgomery, Fairmont Prep, Chaminade, and Flint Ridge Prep, and Roosevelt, and Sierra Canyon, and Long Beach Wilson, and Saugus, and Martin Luther King, and Gardena Serra, and North Torrance, Troy. So many teams, every single one of those teams has some chance to win it. Millikan, Rosary Academy. So I think over half the field has a chance to actually be in the finals, if not winning the finals in Division One. So that's incredibly exciting. And that's kind of the overview there. In 2AA, Valley View, or sorry, not Valley View, Viewpoint, Calabasas is the heavy favorite. In 3AA, I would say Ontario, Christian, and Sage, big favorites. So that's kind of the top down overview. But let me know if you have any specific questions.
Well, it looks like in the Open, it's probably going to be modern-day Chronocentennial in the championship, although anything can happen. Is there a team in Division One who maybe doesn't go on to win the championship, but you think can make a run and make some noise?
Oh, man. I mean, when I – well, all those teams I mentioned could go out in the first round because – or first couple rounds because – more than half the field is that stacked, but there's almost no way to single out those Division I teams because literally half the field is legitimate championship contenders. And well, I guess one, if I had to say a dark horse, not a favorite, but probably one team that is under the radar in that field that is a lot better than people think would be Saugus. They had a great senior class last year graduate. People thought that they were going to fall off the map this year, but here they are in the Division I playoffs, and they look like they could be a force. But at least 10 teams are seriously in the running to go all the way.
All right, so that's going to be quite the bracket. That'll be a really exciting tournament to follow. I'll talk about some stuff on the boys' side. I wish it was as open on D1 on the boys' side as it is on the girls', but I don't see it that way. I think Heritage Christian is really good, and we'll talk about some of their matchups. But, Bodie, I want to go to you. I want to have you get some words in here. In the boys' basketball front, it seems like Torrey Pines, obviously, they just keep winning, but that win over Chronocentennial as the days go on looks better and better because Chronocentennial right now is the number two team in the Southern section. Do you think Torrey Pines is a legitimate threat to make some noise in the state open playoffs? I know I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that win just keeps getting better and better for them.
Yeah, and that was a game that they really, the two teams got together and put it together maybe 10 days in advance, and it's really gone on to do big things, especially for their ranking. So if they can get through the San Diego section, I think then that would be able to give them a top two seed possibly in regionals, and that would be the key, I think, for them to advance. The key is just having those home games where they're comfortable. They always play better at home. So if that's the case, then I definitely could see them winning a game or two. And if you win those two games, potentially them against a Southern Section team for that SoCal championship.
Incredible. What's the playoff picture looking like right now? Is it still pretty similar to where it's been the past couple of weeks we've been on here?
Yeah, so there was, it's really been a clear eight teams. Mission Bay was one that after a big week last week, they popped up and maybe been a candidate to steal the eight seed, but they lost last night, so I think that probably will end their chances. There is some movement like before. I think anywhere between two and five could move. Cathedral Catholic and St. Augustine, they'll play tomorrow night to finish off their regular season. Saints got the first one, so we'll see how that goes now. And then 6, 7, and 8 is a battle. Mission Hills, El Camino, Carlsbad. Carlsbad's done. They're have the bye in league this week where Mission Hills is going to take on San Marcos twice. And San Marcos, another team like Torrey Pines, they're undefeated too. They've had some close games in league. We'll see if they can get their rival twice, but definitely a lot of chance for movement 2 through 8 in the open division.
Great. And on the baseball front, San Marcos is making a charge, correct? I thought I saw them, up pretty high in your baseball rankings.
Yeah, I've had them at 1, and the way they're hitting, I mean, the power is just incredible. They really anywhere through the lineup, they're all candidates to go deep. And right now, so for baseball playoffs, they'll use the CIF power rankings, which is a whole chart system. And right now they sit at the 2 seed, though they would be the 1 because they beat the team ahead of them, La Costa Canyon, head to head. And Grossmont's another team that I know I've talked about. And that's just like San Marcos. Don't have a ton of pitching, but you go through that lineup and they're all threats to go deep. So ultimately that would be my pick, but it's going to be tough to navigate through there because there's a lot of teams that can win.
Who do you think has the best pitching in San Diego?
Oh, man. I guess I'd have to say Rancho Bernardo. Their ace, Colin Rothermel, is headed to Kansas State. I think he, head-to-head against someone else's ace, I have the most trust in. And they've got a couple others. I know they've been using a freshman in the rotation as well. But really, it's a down year for teams pitching-wise, but it's definitely an up year for just – guys that can hit it. There's so many guys hitting over 500, guys with double-digit home runs now. So I don't know if they switched the ball much like Major League Baseball has in the past, but ball's definitely flying out down here.
That reminds me of Thousand Oaks up here, who finally lost a game. They lost two, but they were like 23-0. They have Rock Riccio and Max Muncy, the two great hitters, and I don't think anyone wants to face them in the playoffs because their lineup is so stacked, but pitching is where they need a little bit of help. Before we move on to some of my thoughts on the boys' Southern Section basketball playoffs, is there anything else you want to add, Bodie, before we get to top performers? Are you all set?
Yeah, I think in baseball in Division II is another one that I'm expecting to be really good. St. Augustine's a team that has been in my top five for baseball much of the year. They would be the one seed in Division II right now. And going across, I mean, Steel Canyon's been in the top 10. Carlsbad, they're now in the top 10 this week. So just because it's down a division, I expect it to still be really competitive. And with baseball and softball always being double elimination, it's going to be tough to knock off one of these top four seeds twice. Just there's so much hitting in a lot of these lineups.
Got it. That makes sense. I'm really excited for these regional playoffs and just to see if Torrey Pines in the regular San Diego playoffs in basketball can push and be undefeated come those regional playoffs. And then in baseball, which great bats will emerge as the champions down there. So that's going to be really fun. I want to talk about basketball a little bit. And I know everyone knows Amari Bailey is really good at Sierra Canyon, the junior, got committed to UCLA. Just a quick thought on his game against Heritage Christian. He had one of those games where just nothing was falling, shooting. He struggled from three, but he still scored 26 points. He still played amazing defense, and he still led the Trailblazers to an impressive win. And I just wanted to say, usually when a guy isn't shooting very well, they have a bad game. And the fact that he was able to overcome his poor shooting, I thought was really impressive. And just in a weird way, him not shooting the ball well impressed me even more because of how he was able to play in spite of that. And I want to make a point about him here because we all know Stanley Johnson at Mater Dei won those four straight upper division state championships from 2011 to 2014. But no one, at least in recent years, has won a Southern Section upper division championship 4 years in a row. And Amari Bailey now is going for number three. He also would be going for number three at the state championship level, most likely, if those weren't canceled a year ago. Sierra Canyon probably would have gone on to win another one. But for just this exercise, I want to talk about winning four section championships in a row at the highest level. And going back, it used to be enrollment-based. Now what's so impressive is the Southern Section Open Division, it doesn't matter how big or small the school is, it's the best eight teams. So the fact that Sierra Canyon and Amari Bailey are doing this now, I think is really impressive. This is the eighth year the Southern Section has done the Open Division. Sierra Canyon repeated the last 2 years, which was the first time that has ever been done. So the fact that Sierra Canyon and Amari Bailey are winning at this high level against the best of the best is really impressive. And I know it's not all Amari Bailey. He had some NBA players with him in these past couple runs. But I think when it's all said and done, if he can go out and lead Sierra Canyon as the main guy this year to an Open Division championship, three in a row is huge. And then he'll have a chance to do four in a row next year if he can do that. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think this is something down the pipe that people aren't really looking at. I asked him after that Heritage Christian win, is this something on your mind? You have an opportunity here to go down as one of the best winners of all time. And usually you like to think guys will say, oh, no, I'm not really thinking about it. He said, this is absolutely something I'm thinking about. This is absolutely something I want to accomplish. So that is something as these playoffs unfold, I am really looking forward to seeing because we don't see these all-time winners too often. It's just so crazy that he has this opportunity to do that. And before Stanley Johnson, it was a guy named Oscar Edwards who won four straight state championships at Price. But winning against the best of the best, that open division, it's unprecedented because it used to be enrollment-based. So he can set his own trail. He's a trailblazer on the court because it's Sierra Canyon, but he can be a trailblazer when it comes to winning in the Southern Section if he goes on to win this year that open division. And the next year, four in a row, that would just be unprecedented. When it's the best of the best, like we've seen now, that just doesn't happen. And Sierra Canyon is kind of rewriting the record books, and he's really leading the charge as that main piece now and playing these past couple years. So I'm really looking forward to that. I know that's very long-winded, but I wanted to talk about that. And then really quick, Sierra Canyon, I think they got a tough draw in the open division, having to play Rebay and St. John Bosco. Going to be really challenging, but I still think Sierra Canyon can get out of that pool, and I think they're going to meet the winner of Corona Centennial or Harvard-Westlake in Pool B. I think when those two teams play Corona Centennial, Harvard-Westlake on Friday to start the Open Division playoffs, I like the winner of that game to go on and win the pool. In Division One, I think it's Heritage Christian and Chaminade, with Heritage Christian getting the edge. I think this year there were 9 Open Division caliber teams. Heritage Christian was the odd team out. I like them to win Division One. I see Santa Margarita in 2AA as the favorite. I know Colony is on paper the favorite, but I think Santa Margarita is that team to watch in 2AA. And then in 2A, I like West Ranch. So I'm going on and on. I want to stop talking, but I just wanted to get some of that off my chest. And Lance, you can chime in. I know you're more on the girls' side, but you'll be hopefully covering some boys' playoff games as well. Do you see it similarly? Do you think it's Sierra Canyons to lose in that Pool A? And then do you like Corona Centennial and Harvard-Westlake? That's how I see it. Is there anything you see differently?
No, not particularly. I agree with what you're saying about Amari Bailey. Not only that, but by the sheer numbers of the potential to win 4 straight, both regionally and within the section, but how much more impressive this time around would be. And last year, it's crazy to call a guy with so much star potential and just who's so good as he is already a blue guy. But his freshman year, he was averaging single digits. His sophomore year, he started, but he kind of took on the role of whatever they needed him to be on any given night. Sometimes the scorer, sometimes the facilitator, sometimes the dude who doesn't really do a whole lot on the offensive end because there's, you know, so many guys on that team who need touches. For him to come in the way he has and carry the team more than any Sierra Canyon player has had to do in the past few years with how loaded they usually are is just, it's another level of impressive. You mentioned the enrollment thing. I don't know if people understand how big of a deal that is, the fact that what defines divisions has gotten reshaped to specifically create more parity, especially at the top of the top. So that just makes things harder. I can't say I've seen enough to say it's Sierra Canyons to lose. When I look on paper, there's so many teams that seem like they could push them. But Harvard-Westlake can kind of they've had a few sort of disappearing act games. But when they are clicking, they are such a machine where the sum, like the parts themselves are great, but it's a situation where the whole is more than the sum of the parts. So I think those teams get really scary when they all feed off each other and move the ball, because the conventional wisdom used to be that those are the teams that die by the 3-ball in the playoffs. And now we've seen at all phases of high school ball, that if those teams are comfortable shooting in pressure situations and living by the 3-ball, that sometimes those are the teams that pull off the biggest upsets. And I like how Harvard-Westlake has the crisp defensive rotations. They have size. So I think they, if I were going to count on someone to pull off a scary upset, that would be one of the first teams that comes to mind. As with Damien, like I think they could do some dark horse stuff. I don't know if I can see them winning it all. But when you have 2 bona fide studs with RJ Smith and Malik Thomas, I like their sophomore big man, Jimmy Oladokun. Him alone gives them the opportunity to match up with some bigger teams. They're another team that just keeps the ball moving and never exits the system they ran on both sides of the court. Which a lot of it just has to do with the coaching. They're always in sync. So those are 2 teams that I could see getting red hot and pulling off an upset. But we haven't seen quite enough boys action in the past month or so to assess who I see as the favorites or if anyone's an overwhelming favorite.
I like what you said about Amari Bailey, and I want to elaborate. You're absolutely right. Now he's the guy. So I don't want to say it was easy for him to win those state championships and those Southern Section championships previously, but it's going to be harder now because he's the main guy. He's the number one. He's the one that everyone is going to circle on the roster, and they're coming for him. So it gets harder now. Again, it wasn't easy before, but to have this great legacy that I'm saying he has the chance to have, he needs to do it as the number one guy, and now he'll have 1 year of that, and then next year he'll, if he comes back, have a number two shot at that. So I'm excited for all that, and Lance, I think you brought up a great point.
And not to mention, he's still one of the best defensive players anywhere in high school basketball, doesn't take any possessions off on that end, and doesn't look like that's changed one bit since the scoring load got up twofold for him this season.
I agree. I think when you look at all the list of prospects in Southern California, and I've been here for about 4 years now, he's one of those top guys. And I mean, I don't want to say I didn't think he could get to that point, but he's better than I thought he was going to be this year. And now we're going to see what it looks like in the playoffs. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's finish the show with some top performers. Bodie, we'll get you back in here. Thank you for letting Lance and I go back and forth there. I appreciate it. Who in the past week has stuck out to you as a top performer down there in San Diego?
Yeah, so the first guy I'll talk about is San Marcos third baseman Ryan Rivera. He's a junior committed to USD. He had a stretch last week where he went 9-for-9 with 2 home runs, now hitting .468 in the season with 11 home runs. Just a middle-of-the-order bat for the San Marcos team where they're just, it seems like they're so deep. And he's a guy that I knew coming into the season, knew committed and all that, but I think he's really taken his game to the next level and is a huge part why San Marcos is up at the top right now.
Nice. Anyone else you want to hit on? You can go through them all if you'd like.
Yeah, no, I'll add another. So Carson Williams is a pitcher and infielder from Torrey Pines. He's a guy that has been talked about. I think he's up to maybe 50 in the draft rankings now, signed with Cal. And in their doubleheader the other day, he hit 3 hits, 4 walks, stole 5 bases, 2 RBIs, and then they also put him into pitch. He hasn't been throwing a lot this year. 3 2/3 innings was perfect and struck out 6. So just a guy that you can trust to do everything and really carried them to 2 wins there. So he's another guy I've really enjoyed getting to watch this year. Ethan McNishtheider from Granite Hills in 2 games against Valhalla last week, 2 doubles, a triple, a home run, drove in 7 runs. So baseball-wise, just as I said before, it's really the offensive players that have come to play this year.
For sure. Lance, we'll go to you. Who are your top performers?
Last week was one of the top softball duels of the year. I brought up Sydney Summerdike and Villa Park, who I think was previously 18-1 before facing Esperanza last week. Esperanza knocked them off. Emily Gomez threw a one-hitter, and it was a 1-0 finish, which is and it was just a big upset. Not that Esperanza hasn't been great, but to knock off a national elite like that. And Sydney Summerdike was on the mound or in the circle for that game. The one run she gave up, unsurprisingly, it was an unearned run. But that was a pretty epic game. Not that I was there, but just from the reporting. And that, let's see, speaking of softball, we're going up to NorCal now. One player who's been in our Athlete of the Week voting every single week, I think she might have even won it at some point, but that's Ryan Maddox of Clovis North. They've been lights out this season, and she's been on the list of players who are throwing almost every single game and 6 innings, 7 innings, no runs, and then will go 3-for-4 with the home run or 5-for-5 or something like that. There's a number of those. I think next week I'll do a little roundup of the other NorCal softball players, because there's a list of about 8 to 10, probably a little more, but there's a number of softball players who have just been having absolutely bonkers years in the Bay Area and in SoCal, but especially in the Bay. A lot of pitcher-hitter hybrids who could go both ways at the Division I level, so I'll cook that up for next time, but those are a couple names that were on my mind. Oh, and also one last thing. I brought up quickly last week, I brought up Natalie Pasco of San Ramon Valley. She had another 3-0 week. She led them with 30.7 points, 11.3 rebounds per and San Ramon Valley now I have as a top 30, pushing the top 25 teams in the state, even though they've only played about 7 games. And I think in one or two of those games, she rode the pine for a lot of the third and fourth quarters. So she's having one of the best seasons, albeit a short one, of anyone playing basketball in the state, especially NorCal.
All right, very nice. On the girls' side, I want to talk about quickly Alyssa Thompson at Harvard Westlake. She scored 6 goals in the quarterfinals, a 6-1 win, I think it was, against Temecula Valley. She's at Harvard Westlake, an incredible soccer player. In the semifinals against Santiago, she scored 2 goals, and now Harvard Westlake will go for the championship on Saturday. She is an incredible athlete. She also runs track and is a great sprinter, but soccer is her future, and just a remarkable player. So anytime you're putting up all-time stats like that, you, of course, deserve a mention. And then in baseball, haven't talked much baseball on my end. So last night I saw Jay Serra in a must-win game to keep their Trinity League hopes alive, beat Orange Lutheran, who Bodie and I think Cal High Sports has as the number one team in the state this week in baseball rankings. So Bodie, you're not alone in that ranking. This was the best of the best.
Yeah, and I think 17-game win streak coming in for them, so they've been on fire.
Yep, and then it ended last night because Gage Jump comes in, the Jay Serra ace who is signed to UCLA. He didn't allow a hit up until the 6th inning, and then he allowed a single, but he pitched 5 2/3 before coming out, struck out 13. And it's easy to see the guys who and the girls when we cover sports who everyone knows are good, and it's easy to see, okay, this person is really a great player, and it's easy to see when people are really talented. But what I was so impressed with Jump is his breaking ball is so great, it's easy to see he's a great player. But what he did in a must-win game against the best team in the state, the money was on the table. He needed to have a good performance. He didn't need to just be really good. He needed to be exceptional. And I thought he was exceptional last night, and that was so impressive. When there's pressure and when you got to have it, just being good and relying on, you know, you can kind of take a back seat when you're that good. You don't always have to bring your AA game. But what always gets me so impressed is when these players, they need to be at their best. And last night that was Gage Jump. So I that blew me away. Just in a gotta have it game, he was exceptional. And then Anthony Hoya at Banning. Banning had a tough year in baseball in the Marine League. I think they're going to finish 5-4, which probably isn't where they wanted to be. This is city section baseball. But the team who won the Marine League, San Pedro, Anthony Hoya pitched twice against them in league play this year and won 2 games. He's the best pitcher in the city section. No one is going to want to face him come playoff time. He's another kid who, when the money's on the table, he's been exceptional. I wanted to make sure I shouted him out because he's been great too. His team sometimes can kind of, I don't want to say leave him out to dry, but when he's not pitching, Banning has had some ugly games, but when he is pitching, he's been in every game. So Gage Jump, I think, is one of, if not the top pitcher in the Southern section. Anthony Hoya is clearly the top pitcher in the city section. I wanted to shout out those two guys this week, but really what takes the cake for me was the Gage Jump performance yesterday. So I wanted to finish with that. But man, home stretch here. I say it every week, but a couple more weeks of just crazy playoffs coming on and the end of the regular season in San Diego. So we got a lot to get to. So I guess we'll sign off here because everyone has games to get to. But thanks, guys. I thought that was a very nice discussion. Bodie, Lance, I appreciate it. Any final thoughts from you guys? If not, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, really quick. Last week we did a quick tribute to Carlos Arias, and now it sounds like things are looking more up, and it just sounds like a lot of the news that came out around that time was misreported to the point where even people who knew him in person were confused about where things were at and were saying rest in peace and stuff. So I'm glad we did a quick little shout out to him last week, but I do wish I had gone a little bit more out of my way to get and double check the specific facts before talking about it. So I was wrong on that, but this is the best possible time to be wrong. And shouts out to him for keeping going.
Yeah, Lance, do not apologize at all. The reporting was that they were going to take him off life support after a stroke that just about killed him, and then now he's come back, it sounds like. And so you were not the only one. I mean, I thought I was in the same boat as you. All the tributes on social media that was just. I mean, again, it's a great thing, but it was, don't want to say misreported, but it looked like it was going one way for sure, and it ended up going the best possible way, which is great. So I'm glad that ended in had a happy ending when it looked like it didn't. So no need to apologize at all. I think everyone was in that same boat.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, Bodhi, final thoughts from you?
Yeah, just excited with, I know we'll be getting into playoffs. You guys have your brackets out. We'll get basketball this weekend in San Diego, then baseball in 2 weeks, and then in regionals, looking forward to the sections getting on, the chance to take on each other, because we know there's some top teams in a lot of these sports, and looking forward to it.
Definitely. Thank you, Bodhi. Thank you, Lance. This has been the SB Live California podcast. We'll see you next time.